It's John Kissy here at the Canmars Analog Mission here at Western. I'm here with Scott McLennan, here as an advisor to us on the planning and science teams for the Analog Mission. So let's just get straight into it. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background? I understand you're an alumnus of Western.
That's right. I did my undergraduate and a master's in the geology department before the geology and geophysics merged, and finished that all of that in 1977, then went to Australia for 10 years and did my PhD at the Australian National University, where I was not a planetary scientist, but my PhD supervisor was. Then came to Stony Brook in 1987, and right around the time of Pathfinder, got interested in Mars, and I'm basically a sedimentary geologist and sedimentary geochemist. And once Pathfinder landed, it was clear you could do sedimentary geology on Mars, and so that was the beginning of it.
So what's your current position? What are you doing now?
So I'm professor of, I think the title is geochemistry in the Department of Geosciences at Stony Brook University, and my main research interest now is entirely planetary science, dealing with the sedimentary history and the crustal history of Mars.
Okay. First of all, I want to ask you, do you have any sort of affiliation with any space agencies? Are you an advisor to JPL or anything?
Yeah, so I'm on the science teams for what was the Spirit and still is the Opportunity rovers, and on the science team for the Curiosity rovers. So that there's an affiliation through JPL for all of those missions. And I'm also now on the science teams for the upcoming 2020 rover for the Pixel and the SuperCam instruments. And so I've gotten fairly involved in JPL missions. And as part of that, of course, you do a lot of training, very similar to what you guys are doing here. I mean, incredibly, it was quite remarkable how similar it all is, in fact. And so we did a lot of training. We did a lot of these analog types of studies and what we called operational readiness tests. And so I think because of that background, they thought that it might be good to have somebody, you know, to come up here and sort of work with you guys, which has been great.
So what was it like gaining that experience? I mean, was that a gradual process, or were you able to step straight out of your academic life and apply that in this kind of situation?
So pretty much from very early, I think almost from the beginning, but very early on during the Spirit and Opportunity missions, I was one of the people that they called a long-term planner. And so our job was to look at the strategic, and this is a science planner, so we were involved in looking at sort of the strategic aspects of the mission. And with these missions, and I think you've seen it in the last couple of days, is that it's very, not easy, but it's sort of almost required that you have to focus on the day-to-day operations. You know, what's the rover going to do? You got to get your plan in. You got to keep on time. And so what these missions tend to have is they'll have a group of scientists whose job it is to maintain the bigger picture and, you know, maintain what we call the strategic view, which is really anything more than one day, but, you know, the longer term view of what science we're supposed to be doing, what is it that the mission is actually trying to do, and are the observations that we're trying to make on any given day consistent with that bigger picture? And so I guess over the years, they used to call us the graybeards, and your audience can't see me because I'm on the radio, but that's not a bad description, unfortunately. But, you know, so it tended to be people who had sort of broader, and in many ways, the guy who ran MER, Steve Squires, I think he was interested in getting people who didn't just have a Mars-centric view, had a broader view. So there are long-term planners from all kinds of different disciplines. And so I've been doing that now for 12 years. And so I think initially it was kind of challenging, certainly. But over the time, you know, that's kind of what we're supposed to do. So I guess that background helped.
So it was obvious to me that was very helpful to the team. What's your sort of opinion of our team being in the position that you were a few years ago now, and how they're reacting to the demands of being involved in an analog of a mission control?
It was eerie because it was so similar. Yeah. it really is. I mean, they you know, you guys have just captured, you know, exactly what you need to do to train to do this stuff. I mean, you get, you know, you have the pressure, the time pressures. You have the schedules that, in this case, you're doing it a little bit different because you're trying to run a rover in Utah, but you know, a non-normal schedule. You're delegating jobs and tasks. You're integrating ideas from many different groups. Like you've got your instrument groups, you've got your geologists, and you know, the fidelity I just was really impressed with. And what I think is also really valuable is that with all these other missions, our operations get into, the word rut comes to mind. I don't think that's really the right word because, you know, they have a system that works for them and it works well and they've been using it. And it's very hard to test fundamentally new ideas and to experiment with new ideas. And some of the things that you're doing here, I mean, they're the same, but they're different. And so they're new ideas, new thoughts about how to maybe run the missions. And so those experiments will be really valuable, I think, for 2020, because they're in the process of trying to develop those ideas. And they know they're going to have to change from the way both Spirit Opportunity and Curiosity run their missions, because the sampling, you know, the timelines have to be different. They have to make some changes. And so being able to experiment with a real life analog mission, I think, is great. And we just can't do that with Spirit Opportunity and Curiosity. It just doesn't work very well. So that's terrific.
Okay. Now let's talk a little bit more about your interaction with these kinds of missions, how being involved in these kind of missions can feed back into your academics.
Oh, yeah. What happened, I mean, for me, my background is as an analyst. I mean, I'm a sample person. I've worked with samples all my life, I mean, starting here at Western. And once we started working on Mars, it was clear, you know, you can get meteorites back from Mars, but they're all igneous. Mm-hmm. And I'm a sedimentary geologist, and I wasn't going to get sedimentary samples. And so what we were able to do is to leverage the work you do on the missions into a laboratory component. And so my laboratory research is all based on experiments that try to understand the sedimentary cycle on Mars. We do weathering experiments, we do diagenesis experiments. And so then the idea is that you do your experiments under the conditions that you think you understand by the mission work, and you do those experiments, and then the results of the experiments you can then compare back to the results you get from the mission work. And so you know, you have that synergy between the two. So my research program is a laboratory-based program that does that kind of thing. And then also, it was once described that when you have a planetary mission, it's like facing a freight train full of CDs coming straight at you. The amount of data is just staggering. And so you have to always, you know, step back and take those data and analyze them. And so the other part of the research program that I have is to do that data analysis, the sort of stuff that you can't do on a day-to-day basis in the mission. You just don't have time. And sometimes you don't have the context to do it. And so we work on data that's sort of been there for maybe a year or 6 months or a year and publicly accessible. Anybody can work on it. And then we try to do data analysis on that. And that basically consumes all of my academic time other than teaching. So.
Okay, cool. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure working with you, an absolute pleasure talking to you. Thank you very much, Scott.
And it's been a pleasure, and I've just enjoyed myself so much coming back, both to come back to my old university and to work with all you guys. So it's been great.